Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. My name is Parkhopper John. I come to you from www.parkhoppers.com. Joining me, as always, is my co-hostess with the mostest, Tony Castelnova from Disney by the Numbers. And we have an incredible show for you today. We have an interview with an incredible young lady. She is the website owner of PlanningTheMagic.net, and she is the author of the ebook called Disney World on a Budget, as well as ConsideringDVC.com. So tonight we're going to be talking about everything Disney, Walt Disney World, planning vacations, and discussing Disney Vacation Club. Everybody, welcome to the show, Crystal.
So, Crystal, welcome to the show. We'd like to ask, you know, all of our first-time guests there, you know, how did you get started with your love of Disney? How did you become a Disney fan?
My family was really big on Disney. I think the fondest memories I have as a child were made at Disney. And I also think that I'm an avid reader. I love all different types of books. I've always been like that. I think I read The Hobbit. I was like 10 years old. So I think my like imagination, it just takes off. For me, Disney has always been an escape. And I think how I saw it as a kid is a little bit different than how I see it right now. But either way, it's been an escape for me. So I think just since little, my parents taking me.
How old were you and when was the first time you came to Disney?
So my first time at Disney was actually before I can remember. And I only know because I've seen pictures.
Right.
So I see really funny pictures. And my mom told me this story once. That we went to Disney. I was probably like 3 or 4, and I guess I saw Minnie Mouse. I've always been a little bit of a, like, not a tomboy, but a tomboy. So I never wanted to be a princess. I wanted to be Minnie Mouse. I wanted to be a mouse. So I was like screaming, and I wanted like the outfit like Minnie Mouse, and they had to take me from Magic Kingdom back on the monorail, back to the parking lot, to the car, to change me into a Minnie Mouse outfit. So that's the pictures I've seen. Me in a Minnie Mouse outfit in like a little stroller.
Wow. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
So you have an interesting website. Your website, planning. You have one, Planning the Magic, and
yes,
the other one that we're going to kind of focus on this go round is about your Disney Vacation Club experience. So tell us, you know, what the website's about and the name of it and where people can find it.
Awesome. Yeah. So it's ConsideringDVC.com. And basically it's a very simple website. There's two parts of it. Part one is kind of like my story and my journey. And then part two is like resources. So the reason why I decided to do it that way was because when I first started looking into the Disney Vacation Club, there was a lot of information in a lot of different places. So I would have to like pick and choose, and I did months and months of research, and I wanted to like encompass it all in one place for people to find it easily.
Right.
So that's why I created Considering DVC. And then my journey is there because I made a lot of mistakes on the way. And I just wanted other people to see that and to witness that and to see, hey, this is how it works. So I purchased from Disney, and then while I was at Disney World, and then I had 7 days to void the contract. So when I got back home, I was like, oh no, what did I do? I voided the contract, and then I went and purchased resale. So I had both those experiences. I could talk about both of them. I could talk about the differences and which one would probably be better depending on like your lifestyle or where you're at.
Right.
So I just wanted to share that so anyone can use it and not make the same mistakes as me.
So what mistakes do you think you made?
that
you would have gone, uh-oh, let me go back and fix this. What, you know, so what were some of the things that you think you made as a mistake?
Sure. The first mistake I think I made was, and the biggest one was, I think buying from Well, falling into when you go on the Disney Vacation Club tour, they're very good. I had a great cast member that helped me out. She was amazing. So I had already wanted to purchase into Disney Vacation Club, but I went and I purchased through Disney, which was something that I knew I did not want to do. And I think that was my biggest mistake. And the reason it wasn't because, you know, Disney was worse or, you know, more expensive, even though that was one of the biggest things for me. It was more so, you know, my the way I was looking at Disney Vacation Club was obviously prepaying my vacation, but I wanted to get the most value out of my purchase.
Right.
Some people purchase into DVC for like this, a specific resort like Grand Floridian.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what I wanted to do. And I felt like I got caught up in the magic and stuff like that. And I purchased at Disney. So I think that's the biggest mistake I made.
I would say I almost fell into that trap. The first time I went on the DVC tour was when they were building the boardwalk.
Oh.
And I, too, was like, oh, this is great. You know, I'll have a vacation forever. But I did not fall in love with the boardwalk. The fact that, you know, you had to go outside to get a cup of coffee and all the things were outside on the boardwalk and they weren't inside the building was not for me.
Right.
And I kind of walked away. I said, you know, listen, it's not for me right now. But I said to a lady, I said, if you ever build something at the Contemporary, that's where I'd love to be.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they did, and I bought at Bay Lake Tower. So
you were true to your word.
I was true to my word. And, you know, I was one of the probably the, you know, first couple thousand people, whatever. I mean, I called them up, and I, you know, sight unseen, I said, I just want, you know, points. You know,
sure.
where do I send the check? And she's like, well, you have to take a tour. I said, I've been on the tour. I know the spiel. You know, and she's like, well, then I need you to take something online to, you know, so that we can confirm that you've taken the tour. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah, so.
I didn't know you had to take the tour in order to do it.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe by law or some kind of real estate disclosure stuff that they have in there. Who knows?
Right. I mean, I have heard that purchasing from, if you're going to purchase from Disney, you have to do it in person.
Yeah.
I've heard that, but I haven't heard that you have to, geez, the whole tour?
Yeah.
Can I take the tour?
Yeah, so I did mine online. It was some kind of online thing, and then I, you know, wired them the money, more or less. They FedExed the papers. I signed them, and they FedExed them back, and that was it. So I didn't really have to do it on site. So,
yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I think that I've been to Boardwalk and I was just talking to someone else about this, about the resort cups that you get when you're on the dining plan.
Right.
And depending on where you stay, they're pointless. Like I was at Old Key West, just in January, and I was across from a pool, but that pool didn't have a bar.
Right.
It was like a quiet pool. So I never used my cups because the closest refill station was like a 25-minute walk you know, and I was like, well, this is pointless. Whereas if you're at like Art of Animation or, you know, it's just right downstairs and you use it all the time.
Like Saratoga Springs, if you were, you know, all the way out in a treehouse, what would you do with your cup?
Yeah, nothing.
It would sit on the shelf and you would have your coffee in it, you know, in your room. That would be it.
That's exactly what we did. So we've talked about not doing the dining plan in that situation again. But, you know, it's true. I mean, it definitely has – it's all about, like, figuring out what, you know, kind of vacation you want to have. Art of Animation is a better theme for kids than Saratoga Springs or Old Key West.
Yeah, you definitely have to fit the resort to your family – your family's vacation style, you know, how far are you willing to walk or, you know, go to get on a bus to get to the park? You know, it's all those factors that, you know, really decide, you know, where you should be buying too.
Right, exactly.
So now you bought through the second market. Who did you buy your DVC from?
I purchased with the timeshare store.
Okay.
Yes.
And how was your experience with them?
Oh man, it was awesome. I can say that when I purchased through the timeshare store, I used Scott Decker. He was really great, really informative. If he was ever on vacation, he would like shoot me over an email and tell me who I can contact.
Okay.
And I did it through the summer, so everybody was going on vacation.
Right.
And then when you have, when you purchase through resale, you also work with like a title company.
Okay.
I will say, honestly, they were a little bit slower in getting back to me. I think sure. that they don't, they probably don't feel as, I guess, at, like they owe you, I guess, as much as like your broker or the timeshare store. Mm. They're more like behind the scenes, but they do, it, what's funny is that they do a I want to say most of the work. Once your offer, the timeshare store is like a broker. So they're really just doing like the transition of, okay, right. here's your offer. Let's, here's the money. And then the title company does everything else.
Yeah. So, now when you place your offer or your, you know, how much you're going to pay, I believe Disney's got first right of refusal. So the deal's got to kind of go through Disney for them to approve that sale. Is that correct still?
Right. Yeah. So you put your offer, usually they'll send it to Disney right away within the first week. Mm-hmm. And Disney has 30 days and they do that just to make sure that, like the value of the Disney Vacation Club in general is not going down.
Right.
So usually the rule of thumb is if your price is reasonable, you're probably going to be fine. If you're trying to get something for like $20 on a point, it's not going to pass.
I have a friend who's a bankruptcy lawyer, and he's bought a couple of DVCs in bankruptcy court.
Huh.
And for a lot less, I mean, extremely a lot less than what you would think a DVC should go for.
Right.
I mean, because basically the bankruptcy lawyer is just trying to get money to the debtor, you know, the person that, you know, needs this money, and she or he doesn't care, you know.
Right.
She doesn't care that it's a Disney Vacation Club and it should be selling at $78 a point. If she can get rid of it for $50 a point or $25 a point, she'll get rid of it.
Interesting. And it, like, works and it goes through and everything?
Disney's got no say because it's being done through bankruptcy court.
Nice. That is the way to go.
So there are – I was just talking about this last week on our podcast. Here in Orange County, where Orange and Osceola, where Disney sits, most of them I think are in Orange County. You could go to the Orange County website, and you can see all the ones that are foreclosed on, and they go up for auction.
Wow.
And I don't think that Disney's got first right of refusal on those either. Because I think they're owned, by banks or by the county because they've been foreclosed on.
That's so interesting. I had no idea that that happens. I mean, I guess it makes sense if you think about it. But yeah.
So I'd love to find somebody that's bought one and find out, how much they got it for via auction. I'm like, well, maybe I should just try and buy one or buy some extra points. You know,
right.
Find out how many points they have and, you know, just try and buy me. Maybe I could just add on to my I mean, it's crazy. I live here, but I can use them for California or the cruise line or, you know, Adventure by Disney or, you know, I don't know, Disneyland
exactly.
Paris or somewhere else.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. I have – I don't have any kids, so the studio is always fine for me. But
yeah.
I have 100 points, and I like to go down there so often that I almost feel like I need more. I'm not going to get more until I have kids, but I always – and I have a place – there's this airlines that I fly out of that I can get a flight for. The cheapest is $19 each way.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so with
that – Does that come with a parachute?
Just in case. No. Yeah. They don't even – you know, most airlines give like peanuts and like a water. And they don't do that. But yeah. So I'm always like, wow, I just want to go for like the weekend. And it doesn't make sense because I'm going to use up all my points in like the first month of having them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. It is tough. So you said that you bought at the Grand Floridian.
Yes. At first.
Yeah. So was it the Grand Floridian? Was it the price? Was it a combination of things? Was it too foo-foo for you? What made you go, wow, I can't.
Why did I do this?
Yeah, I can't. I got to get out of this. I got to go to something else.
Yeah, so I, when you buy from Disney, they have certain resorts that are in stock. At that time, it was Aulani and the Grand Floridian. Now, it's probably Polynesian and Aulani. So anything else that you want, you have to be put on a wait list.
Right.
So Grand Floridian was one of those options that was available right away. And you have to buy, I believe, at least 100 points from Disney. I think it's at least 160, but I think you can negotiate a little bit and try. They'll tell you first, like, we can't do anything lower than 160.
Right.
But you can negotiate a bit and you can. So I got 100 points. I think I paid like 150 per point.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got home and, you know, it was really more so about what do I want to do with this? What do I want to accomplish with DVC? And does this, like, financially make sense? I was only 23 years old, so it was my first big purchase out of college. And I just was like, it doesn't make sense for me to do this right now and spend $15,000 on this when I can get the same thing for $7,000.
Yeah.
I loved Grand Floridian. I think it's beautiful and it has so many great things, but it wasn't really about the resort for me. Yeah. I like them all. I want to try them all eventually.
Yeah. I'm on this quest to stay in a Grand Villa or be in a Grand Villa in each of the resorts. I'm getting pretty close. So I stayed in the Grand Floridian Grand Villa.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it is spectacular. We had quite a big party for the podcast and my website. Usually in January, February, I kind of throw a party in a Grand Villa. This year was in Kidani Village.
Oh, awesome.
So we spent two nights in Kidani, which is nice. So I like to share it with friends when I can.
I knew someone who did that, or I read an article about someone who did that with the bungalows at Polynesian.
Yeah.
A friend like invited her and she went and got to experience it. Yeah. I've never stayed in a Grand Villa. I would love to have like my family down and just have a bunch of us have a great time. But I feel like my family makes my life complicated. So maybe not.
You don't want to ruin the vacation.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just go by myself to the Grand.
Yeah. So, I know there's a couple differences, you know, when you buy from Disney, and then when you buy on the second market there. So do you know what some of those differences are? I think one of them is you can't do the cruise line.
Yes. So there's a couple differences. You can't do the cruise line. You can't do the Adventure Collection. You can't do the Disney Experience or the Disney Collection.
Right.
That kind of thing. Usually when people buy resale, it's because they want to like save money. It's for them. It's more like it's a cheaper price. And when you do like the math, as far as like let's say like the cruise line. So obviously you cannot go on the membership cruise, the member cruise. But let's say if you just use it for a regular cruise, if you convert your points, to like a dollar amount, it doesn't make sense. It makes more sense to like rent them out and use that money or to just pay for it out of pocket and use the points for like a Disney stay.
Yeah. I've heard that too.
So that's like that's the same thing with like the Adventure Collection and stuff. That's like the, I guess, argument on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I did use my points to go to the expo once and we stayed at the Disneyland Hotel. And that didn't seem like – it felt like I should have had more rooms or a longer stay, length of stay, you know, for the amount of points that I was using to stay in a hotel room. I don't even think that's a super-duper value.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's the whole thing. So that's really all you lose with buying resale. I feel like that's the majority of what it is.
You still have to pay the monthly maintenance fee. That doesn't go away, right?
Yeah, no, that will never go. I wish.
Yeah. And that's something that I don't think everybody knows. Each resort's got a different monthly maintenance fee. And it doesn't have to be monthly. You can pay your entire maintenance fee up front at the beginning of the year.
Right.
Or you can pay it monthly. I don't think you can pay it at the end of the year. I think they want it all in January or monthly.
Right. And you can, I think you can like or combine quarterly. The two.
Yeah.
You can like pay some up front and then do like a monthly, something like that. But those don't go away. And those, all they do is go up.
Right.
So it's really, I even talk about it on my website. This cannot be like a financial investment. This is like, I was going to go to Disney every year and stay in a deluxe or a deluxe villa resort. I'm just prepaying for the next however many years. It can never be like I'm doing this to save money. Because you won't.
Yeah, and it depends on the resort, but I also like how old they are. So maybe something like Old Key West is a little bit more. Also, how large your resort is, something like Saratoga is, obviously a lot bigger.
Right.
And then where it is into proximity of, a theme park, because then the taxes for that DVC is also higher. I'm in Bay Lake Tower, and my taxes are super, super, super high, and so are probably the Poly and Grand Floridian because of their proximity to the Magic Kingdom.
Right.
I think our taxes last year were the highest out of all of the DVCs. Thank you very much, Orange County Tax Assessor, for adding that onto my maintenance fee. And we're really not into the high maintenance yet at Bay Lake. Still kind of fairly newish.
Right.
They haven't done a complete, hard goods replacement of everything yet. I'm sure that's coming soon since they're doing some soft goods this year. So, that all depends too.
Right. It depends on, like you said. I think the best place, if you do it like number wise, to buy, they say, is Saratoga because of the low maintenance fee, and it goes up like a very small percentage every year.
Right. Because of the volume of the places that they have there.
Right. It's so big. So many owners. So, but like Animal Kingdom is super expensive because of the animals. There's a lot of like maintenance that's done there.
Yep. I believe that. So, did you, before you even made your purchase, did you even like, rent points or try to rent or, stay in a DVC and say, hey, let me go look at that DVC because that seems like a pretty good idea.
Right. Yeah. So, I was planning a vacation in 2012, I want to say, and I came across DVC just by like figuring out where to stay, when I went. So I had gone to Disney so many times, but I had never stayed on site. So I really wanted to stay on site. So I was looking stuff up, came across DVC, rented points. And while I was there on those rented points is when I did the tour and purchased into Grand Floridian. Okay. Yeah.
Now, where did you rent your points from?
So I did it from an individual, and So I have a whole post on that, like renting from an individual versus like renting from David's Vacation Club Rentals or wherever. And I did it from an individual just because it was a lot cheaper. I feel like, if I remember correctly, I think I got the points $11 a point. And I felt like the whole thing with me was just feeling like safe enough to do it. I didn't care where we stayed. I just wanted to try something. I took so many precautions. I was like, there's no way this is going to blow up in my face. And it didn't.
That's good.
Yeah. So I did there's a contract you can do. You should check references. I talk about it on my website. If you're going to rent, do these things, you pay through PayPal. It's invoiced. So PayPal protects you to a certain extent. You could use a credit card. So then your credit card, there's just different layers of protection you can use.
Yeah. Cause I've heard, horror stories of, people getting down here and, they canceled the vacation
and
took the money.
Yeah. What I did was once the person books for you, they can send you, the reservation number.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I did this 8 months before. I was on there checking every day, for 8 months.
Oh, I'm sure. I would have been.
Yeah, I was nervous. I was oh my God, if this doesn't come through, my family's going to kill me. But so I know once I was within that 30-day mark where someone will lose their points if they cancel, I felt a lot safer. So so that's what I did. And I mean, I used Mouse Owners. It was a good experience. It was definitely a learning experience. It was going back and forth and stuff like that.
I've banked mine a couple times and then used them. I usually always have a reason to use them. And I've never had the chance to rent them. And people saying, oh, I make a lot of money renting them. I'm thinking, maybe I should just buy some and rent them.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking that too. But I did the – I actually did the math over, like – I plugged in some formulas in an Excel sheet.
Yeah.
And if – like, let's say I bought – I purchased now, I would make money up until, like – in like 15 years from now, I would probably stop making money because of the annual dues.
Yeah.
If they keep going up the way they are.
Oh, well, they're going to go up.
Yeah. Oh my God. When does it stop?
It doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. My brother owns at Wilderness Lodge. Oh. I told him, I said, brace for impact because, you know, they're putting new stuff there and your maintenance fees are going to go up. And he's like, oh, I only pay like $36 a month. I said,
That's gonna change.
You'll see.
What I do is, at Target, if you go to Target, sometimes they do like specials,
right?
Where you buy, let's see, like they do it for everything. Oh, I just did the other day. If you buy two of certain like laundry detergent, they will give you a free $5 gift card,
right?
So I did that. I do it, you know, if I'm doing like an Easter basket or like back to school is always a good time. And I get the $5 gift cards and I add them up. Mm-hmm. And then I buy Disney gift cards with them from Target. So that's what I used to pay for my dues. And this year I didn't have, like, I didn't cover the dues fully, but I am going to do it this year. Like 2017, when those dues come up, they're going to be free for me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try my hardest.
Yeah. Somebody said if you use your red Target card, I think you get points or something.
Right.
And they take those points and turn them into Disney gift cards and then do that. I know sometimes Costco has gift cards. Like you can buy $100 worth of Disney gift cards and you really only get them for like, I think like $75 or $80, something like that.
Yeah, there's also – yeah, so you can – for Target, what you can do is if you – let's say you go to Raise.com, which is like a discount gift card site.
Okay.
And you can buy a Target gift card for like 5% off.
Okay.
And then you take that Target gift card, you go to Target.com, put in, you know, a Disney gift card in your basket, and then you act like you're going to pay with your red card up until a certain point. So – red cards get 5% off even on gift cards.
Okay.
So there's a certain point where you have to switch it to the gift card and then you use the gift card to buy the Disney gift card and you just technically got like 10% off. Yeah. If you watch the discounted Target gift cards, like if you watch them like a hawk, there's people that get like 15% off because they get the Target gift card for like, you know, 10% off of what it's worth. Yeah, so that's – I've done that a few times. If I know I'm going to spend the money, I do it because why not? I don't do it that often.
Yeah.
And I do talk about that in my book and I go through like the steps and where you want to like switch because it can help. If you're going to Disney and you're staying at a resort and you're spending, you know, $2,000 between like the dining plan and the room, the $2,000, you know, that's like – that's a good chunk of change.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So what do you think some of the great perks of being a DVC member are?
Oh man, that's everyone's question. When they do really great tickets, that's great. Like the annual passes.
Mm-hmm. They have a pretty good deal going on now.
They do. You're right. They do have that. I love the pool hopping.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that a couple of times and like wasted my day driving around, but I like it. What I really, really like is the discounts on like shopping at restaurants.
Yes.
When I go to Disney, I'm spending that money anyway. And I'm telling you, you swipe that card, you know, 2-3 times and use that 10%, that adds up very, very quickly.
Yep. Yeah. You know, I used it, recently. I used it, New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve is a Tables in Wonderland blackout day.
Uh-huh.
And you can't use the Tables in Wonderland, but, we went to Artist Point and they allowed us to use our DVC discount. So we got 10% off anyway.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I was actually there for New Year's too. But I watched the fireworks at Epcot.
Okay.
And I stayed until the last possible minute. even after they did like the midnight fireworks, which were amazing, I went on like test track right after. So they stay open a little bit after the fireworks, but that's another story. But yeah, so we use it all the time as much as we can. We did the wild trek at Animal Kingdom. The discount for that excursion was pretty great. So, I think the little discounts, the free laundry, can't beat that. What I do to make myself – I don't save a lot of money doing this, but it makes me feel good – is right before I leave Disney, I clean my laundry that I used while I was there. Like my last day when I don't have anything to do, I just do it, and I come home with a luggage full of clean clothes.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. So, I'll do that. I bring Tide Pods, the little pods, with me from home.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Perfect.
Good times.
Yeah. You come home and vacation's over, you just put your clothes away and go to work the next day.
Yeah, and I was actually, last time I went, my meter was read wrong by PSE&G. So usually my bill's like $80 or $100. I live like in a 2-bedroom.
Wow.
And it was like $300. And I was like, oh no, I'm doing this laundry here.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they fixed it, but I was like, how does this make sense? Why would you send me this bill? Hello.
Yeah. So this is the 25th anniversary of DVC. Do you think they should be doing better things than what they are doing so far? I mean, they did have that one party at the Magic Kingdom for 2 nights.
They have it at Animal Kingdom in September.
Yeah, they can have it at Animal Kingdom in September. There's a safari coming up in later this year in August. I think that booking goes online on July something. I have it marked on my calendar.
The Beach Bash.
The Beach Bash. The only thing about the Beach Bash is you actually have to be staying with your points to attend that.
Okay.
The Magic Kingdom thing, you didn't. Like I said, I live here, so I like to attend the DVC things when I can, but sometimes I can't because you actually have to be using your points. And I'm like, well, that's, I'm not doing that. I live 12 minutes away.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, imagine I'll rent one night.
Maybe.
I think that not really. I don't. I mean, if I could change one thing, I think that I would change the parties that they're doing. I think, just having one and saying I want, all of you to come this one day is a little bit tough. I think maybe if there was more, more events, that would be nice. But I'm dying for the magic bands. I have that in my calendar. I'm buying it as soon as midnight hits.
What are they doing with the magic bands?
Oh, they're doing special 25-year DVC magic bands.
Ooh.
Yes. They're going to be really nice. They kind of look like the new ones that come out where it's like completely designed instead of just one color.
Yeah.
They are, I want to say they're going out for sale online on the 12th of April.
Wow.
Here we are. There'll be $32.99.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, really expensive. Wait, hold on. I give them a gazillion dollars to own my thing and then a monthly maintenance fee, and they can't send me a magic band? They're gonna charge me the most amount ever charged for a magic band?
Yep. Exactly. That's exactly what they're doing.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, it's tough. You can get them at the parks starting April 15th, and then online through the marketplace, you can get them starting the 18th.
Wow.
Yeah, there'll only be 2,500 of each color. So,
wow, that better be in gold or something. $32 for a magic band.
Gold plated magic band.
Yeah, something. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, they'll give you the little slider thing for free, though.
Oh, terrific. What do you think would be, your top three tips for somebody that is, wanting to buy a DVC that's kind of new to the game that, maybe vacations occasionally, maybe two times a year? What would you tell them? What would be your advice?
Okay, so my number one tip would be let go of the idea of saving money or, this being like a financial investment. I think that's the hardest thing and the last thing that people let go of and why they spend so much time like zeroing in on the details and creating these Excel sheets and these, you know, using these loan calculators and stuff, you're not going to save money. You'll probably break even. You might save a little tiny bit of money, but just the sooner you let go of that, the better you'll feel about buying and about all the other information you're given. This is more like an emotional investment, an investment in family and memories and vacation and Disney. Nice. So that'll be number one. Number two, I would say definitely rent points or stay in a DVC accommodation before you buy. That way you can figure out what's for you, especially if you have like a family with children. Some people think the studio does technically sleep four, but I don't, if I had two children over the age of like five, I probably would not stay because sometimes it can get a little bit cramped in there. Sure. So definitely trying it out and figuring out what's for you. And then I think number three would be to really determine your approach. I think there's two approaches to buying into DVC, buying like what's the best value and then buying where you want to stay. Figure out what's important to you and just sticking to that, because when it comes, push comes to shove and you're taking the tour or you're watching the resale market, you might get a little bit weak, you know? So if you decide that beforehand and say, this is what I'm going to stick to, you'll avoid a lot of mistakes.
That's good advice. It really is.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, especially, you know, staying in a room. You know, the one thing I found out, on my first trip was you don't get housekeeping every day.
No housekeeping.
So if you don't keep a tidy room and you have a lot of kids, it can get to be a messy place after five, six nights.
Yes, and so. I'm like a big stickler. So when I take my little sister or if anyone comes with me and they sleep on the couch, they have to fold all the blankets and put the couch back together every single day. I'm not like, I can't look at it. It's a studio. So it's so small and it drives me crazy. I'm like, put it away. You want to go to the park? Put it away.
Especially when you come home. Maybe in the afternoon or something, you want to sit down and watch, you know, a movie or just relax or have a drink or whatever. And the couch is a bed.
Yes. And it's like messy. Oh, my God. Oh. Yeah. And she's a teenager now. So there's always like a sock inside the.
I stayed in, I took my nephew and he did the Bay Lake Tower chair. You know, the chair turns into like a little single bed.
Exactly, yes.
And I said, you got to put that back. I mean, we have no place to sit if the chair's a bed.
It's like the whole bed. Took up the whole space of the Those are cool though. I like those.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad. It was actually pretty comfy to lay on.
Yeah. Some of the couches are super comfy and some of them bad.
Yeah.
It just depends. I think I lost my train of thought.
Now you said your home resort was Old Key West?
Yeah, so mine is Old Key West.
So what made you pick that resort? What was the deciding factor for you?
Yeah, so I had like four that I was playing with, and there was two things that made me go eventually with Old Key West. Number one, I got a really good deal on my resale. It was actually it's actually kind of a sad story. The husband died and the wife was selling DVC. It was a really good deal. I think she just, you know, she got what she wanted out of it and she just wanted to get rid of it. So that was number one. And then number two, since I was so young and I was scared that I was making a mistake, even up until the last minute, Old Key West has the shortest contract. Like the contract end date is 2054. So that was another reason that I did that, because I knew that the way I was going to do it, my plan was to buy 100 points now, buy 50 or 100 more once I have a family. Yeah. And then that way, what'll happen is by the time my family is too old for me to, you know, they won't be kids anymore. Mm-hmm. My first 100, the ones I have now at Old Key West, will expire. And then my second 100 will then be live for however longer.
Sure.
So that's kind of what made it work.
However shorter Disney wants to make it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So you never know. But that, you know, the date gave me like peace of mind.
Yeah. So Crystal, tell people first where they can find more information. Tell them the name of your website, where they can find that.
Yeah. So if you go to consideringdvc.com, that's the website. The first thing you see is this really funny picture of me with too much Disney gear on. And, you know, it, like, there's a big button that says start here and you'll get to, like, read my journey. I have, like, a resources section, a contact me if you have any questions. And then in the upper right corner, you'll see, like, YouTube and Twitter. So you can follow me on there. Almost every, like, section has a video to it. Cause I'm a visual learner and I don't learn well reading. Mm. So if I'm looking at someone saying something to me and I'm listening, I'll learn better. And I felt like a lot of people were probably like that. You know, every section will have a video and that's on YouTube or you can see it on the site.
We're going to have Crystal back because she also has another website called planningthemagic.net. Yes. And so tell us a little bit about what that's all about, Crystal.
Yeah, no problem. So Planning the Magic was actually my first child, and I created that. It's mostly focused around my ebook, which is Disney World on a Budget. And I created that. So same thing for as considering DVC, just to help people out. I feel like there's so many people I know that have very limited budgets to go to Disney, and I want it that to be a reality for them because I know what that's like. So that's basically why I created Planning the Magic. I put stuff up. There's like a little blog portion, doesn't have a whole lot of stuff, but every time I have like a random thought that I want to share with people, I just put it up on there.
And from both of those sites, they can follow you on Facebook or Twitter, I assume?
Yes, Facebook, yep. Twitter, there's contact me pages, you name it, it's there.
Okay. All right. Well, I have to say thanks for coming on, Crystal. Well, I'll have to have you back because I'm always interested on hearing how people try to save money in a place that is almost impossible to save money.
No, it's so hard.
It seems like it's like, you know, a pencil, you know, my it's crazy because people come down and they go, well, just buy like the grandkids a pencil. A pencil is like $10, people.
Yeah. What pencil? Yeah, the free one they give you in your room?
Yeah. You just collect the pens in the hotel, you'll be fine, or at the restaurant.
Exactly.
Give them one of those. It'll say Walt Disney World. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But thanks for coming on, Crystal. I think I learned a couple new things, too. And you had a very interesting journey. I really think that people should go to your website and check it out.
Thank
and the
you.
Videos are really good. And you get to see Crystal and you get to hear her story. So
yeah,
thanks
for
coming on.
Yeah, you get to see my crazy hair. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. And we'll see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you.